This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. We hear from you, O Lord. The word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts through our spirits and souls, through our joints and marrow, until it discovers the desires and true intentions of our hearts. May we listen, Lord, and follow you. Amen. Please be seated. Classic question. If you were at home, and God forbid a fire broke out, and you only had a few minutes to grab a few things, besides your purse or wallet, what would you grab? Clothes? Photographs? Birds? Okay. Now think back, and in your life, the most meaningful memories. Think about that for a minute. You're not going to have to yell those out. Think about your most meaningful memories of your whole life. For most people, what comes to mind are relationships, births of babies, deaths, marriages, times with good friends. It's usually poignant moments, maybe something that happened with a teacher, or a mentor, or a sponsor. It's about relationships, what we value, much more than things, meaning, not appearances necessarily, times when we helped others, or times when we were helped, times of loving and being loved. That's what we hold dear. All the rest doesn't matter. All the stuff. All our possessions. We get a glimpse of this in the days and months that follow the death of a dear loved one, or after a horrific upheaval of a hurricane like Florence or Michael, or the earthquake and tsunami that Indonesia experienced recently, and all of those deaths. Situations like that fine-tune what's important. Our relationships, and that comes into crystal clear focus. And also our relationship with ourselves, I might add. The question and answer before us today in the gospel was posed by a man who fell at the feet of Jesus and says, "What can I do to achieve eternal life?" And the answer has everything to do with relationship. Relationship with Jesus, relationship with God. But before we get to the answer, I want to go back to the question. Because he's asking about achieving eternal life. That word eternal is not about time. It also means in the Greek timeless. It can mean never ending, but also, and get this, never beginning. Never beginning, never ending. That's God. Out of time. So when we ask for eternal life, we're really saying union with God. It's beyond anything we can ask or imagine. And yet we long for that. We strive for that. So keeping that in mind, the answer now, he said he's following all the commandments, but the one thing, that pesky first commandment, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me," Jesus could see straight through him, like we heard in Hebrews, like a two-edged sword just cuts right to the marrow, and he realized that this guy was idolizing his possessions, not following Christ's way. Maybe when he went away sad, he was sad because he didn't want to give up his possessions, or maybe he was sad because he had decided that he must. We don't know. The text doesn't tell us what he did. If he gave everything up and followed Christ, It was a sacrifice. And that's how it is. We have to be willing to give up more and more of what we think we know best. So now the question we all ask ourselves is, what do we idolize in our lives? What do we idolize? For some people, it is possessions, holding on to more and more stuff, refrigerators jammed to the brim. For others, maybe it's sports. I was at a wedding recently, believe it or not, about 6 weeks ago, and at the reception, somebody had a little phone and was watching football at the wedding reception. Maybe it's drugs, maybe alcohol. Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's having to be right that we idolize. It'll be different for all of us. Well, what's been eating at my heart and soul, really, for the last several weeks, convicting me in that old religious term, convicting me, cutting right through to my marrow, is how divisive we all are. And I speak for myself. I can be too. How divisive our country is right now. How we all want to be right. How we all want to be heard, but we're not willing to listen unless they agree with us. I'm guilty of that. We're all deeply, deeply challenged by this right now. I have had people in my office over the last couple of weeks. One man who sat there and said, "Why does the other side have to be so hateful?" Tear in his eye. Next week, another person in my office from the other side saying the exact same thing, the exact same lament. "Why does the other side have to be so hateful?" We're all culpable. We're all culpable, and we're sick of it. Everybody I talk to, we're tired of the tension in families, in this place, in with our friends, even if we don't talk about it, the tension is still present. We are called by today's gospel, my sisters and brothers in Christ, to follow Christ, to look beyond having to be right, to give up everything in our inner life with Christ. It's like that line T.S. Eliot wrote that always has challenged me, always a difficult one. "Union with God is a case of utter simplicity, costing nothing less than everything." Nothing less than everything. We must stand up for what we believe is right, for the causes that God guides us to uphold, and we have to stand up for reconciliation if we call ourselves Christian. It's a both-and situation. For peace with one another in the process for what we hold dear as being right and just and true. No small challenge. And I'm not talking about the old connotation of a kumbaya moment. And it's funny that I would say that word, because that song we still sing at Unplugged. And I thought, given what's been on my heart and soul, that I do a little research. Well, it's not the kumbaya moment that you think it is, the purpose that that song was written. There's a lot of research on it, and I actually listened to the first recording. It's in the Library of Congress. The first recording of it was in the early 20s, and it's from an area of our country along the coastal regions of South Carolina and Georgia and northern Florida, in an area that was called, I don't know if it still is, the Gullah Geechee area. You're shaking your head. You know it, Eunice. And the language was this Gullah language. And when you listen to the recording, it's all in English. And when they get to this kumbaya, it's "come by here." It's not a foreign language. It's a dialect of English. And it's thought that the music of that area was evolved from the bitterness of slavery and discrimination. This is not a kumbaya around the campfire song. and I'm here to resurrect it. Come by here, Lord, is about what we need right now in all of our hearts. Come by here, Lord. Like the young man pleading at the feet of Christ, pleading for Christ's answer, Christ's presence in the midst of hatred, we would do well to have a real kumbaya moment right about now, to step back from a minute from those we see as the other side and listen for some truth where you may least expect it without having to be right. I ran across a very poignant video that I know we could all watch it from our homes on YouTube, but there's something different about watching it together. And I'd like us to experience this short video now.
I would describe my political views as the new right.
I'd say like I'm left.
Feminism today is man-hating.
I would describe myself as a feminist, 100%.
I don't believe that climate change exists.
We're not taking enough action on climate change.
I think it's about time these people got off the high horse and started looking for credible problems that actually exist.
It's absolutely critical that trans people have their own voice.
That's not right. You can't, you know, you're a man, be a man, or you're a female, be a female.
Women do need to remember that we need you to have our children.
Could I be friends with someone that says a woman's place is in the home?
Right, OK, well, I'm an expert at flat packs. If you have any trouble, just watch me.
So it looks like I've got your instructions here.
I think so.
Let me help you.
Except just that bit there.
Describe what it is like to be you in 5 adjectives.
OK. Frustrating.
Dedicated.
Opinionated.
Lucky.
Ambitious.
Offensive.
Solemn. I have ups and downs.
Strong.
I don't want to say attacked. Misunderstood.
Name 3 things you and I have in common.
We're both male, we're both confident, and we're both loudly spoken.
We know each other better than people who've known each other for 10 minutes should.
You seem quite ambitious and positive, and you've got this really, got a glow. Do you know what I'm saying? Your aura's pretty cool.
I'm sensing. Are you former military or something?
People have said that, but there is no,
really?
There is no history. So are you then?
Ex.
Ex-military?
Yeah.
If you're ex-military, I'm very proud of you already.
Well, so.
I grew up in a bit of a rough state. I've experienced homelessness. I've known what it's like to have absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm definitely most grateful just for life.
We've only just met, but I think you're the sort of person that would listen to me and we'd have a discussion rather than argue.
Yeah, you could hang out with, man.
Let's go. Mind chance?
What the sake?
You're right, mate.
Fitter than I look.
Perfecto.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
So basically, I think we just bought a bar.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here you are. Each take a bottle and place it on its corresponding markings on the bar.
Attention. Please now stand to watch a short film.
Feminism today is definitely an excuse for misandry, man-hating.
If somebody said to me that climate change is destroying the world, then I'd say that is total piffle.
So transgender, it is very odd. We're not set up to understand or see things like that.
I am a daughter, a wife. I am transgender.
I feel like the battle for feminism definitely isn't done. The fight is never going to be over, if I'm honest with you.
You now have a choice. You may go, or you can stay and discuss your differences over a beer.
I'm only joking.
You're happy for a second, Ed.
Well, I'm having a drink.
I'm having a drink.
Yeah.
I want to discuss.
Beer.
Yeah, beer and discuss.
Cheers.
At the end of the day, mate.
About reaching out to people, yeah. And, you know, even if you wanted to convince people about your point, the productive thing to do would be to sit down and have a beer.
Just engage.
I've been brought up in a way where everything's black and white, but life isn't black and white.
Yeah, I'm just me.
Yeah.
Smash the patriarchy.
I'll give you my mobile number, you give me yours, and we'll keep in touch. I'd have to tell my girlfriend that I'll be texting another girl. She might be a bit upset with that, but I'll have to get round there.
I'll have to tell my girlfriend.
I meant to give a disclaimer beforehand that it was a beer commercial and I forgot. Don't tell Marty, I'm encouraging you to drink. Kids, remember that. It's not about drinking that's going to solve their problems. That was supposed to be a disclaimer first. It could be tea. How about a cup of tea together? Coffee, conversation, true listening without having to agree. Kindness, reconciliation. That's our mission of the church. Bishop Brian Pryor, our friend from Minnesota, wrote this, and this is just part of a letter that he wrote. I thought it was great to end with it. In a country that is clearly not united right now, not indivisible, but rather very deeply divided, we, as followers of Jesus, regardless of our ideological perspective, have been first and foremost called to the ministry of reconciliation. Make no mistake, this does not mean go along to get along. No, this is baptismal covenant living. Seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself, and to strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being. I don't know how we'll get there, but just maybe, God is doing something new here, something new in the power of the Holy Spirit. Just maybe. With God, all things are possible. May we listen and follow Christ. We must. Amen.